Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Making a cup of tea. It's one of the first times ever. It's only 2 minutes past. Calm down. Good morning, though. How are you? Are you all right? Did you have a good evening? Yeah? Cool. Yeah. Me? Yeah. It's fine. All right. Someone in the chat says, The Late Show with Bo Dade. Sorry. Very rarely, even 1 minute late, are we? So, all right. Here we go. Oh, I'm joined by Harry this morning, of course. Little Harry, my producer. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning. Yeah, I'm all good.
Good, good. And you are the glorious band, the chosen few. My band of brothers. Without you, it's not a thing. Thank you for turning up. Great stuff. All right. Let's get into it then, shall we? Without any further ado, no more faff. What's the corporate legacy mainstream media banging on about this morning? Oh, it's a bit dark this morning. A bit horrible. All right, we've got... They didn't have to die, and you're not the Messiah. All right. They didn't have to die is in reference to the Southport massacre. Massacre of the innocent. When some Rwandan murdered a load of children, little girls. Okay, there's been an inquiry into it all. And the findings are in the papers today. Okay, we've got to talk about it. First of all, who kissed Kendall? Don't care. Don't care. Okay. Southport murders inquiry. These three poor little kids. And like another 10 were terribly wounded. Can only imagine psychologically scarred forever. Physically terribly hurt. Not just those three girls, but I mean, what kind of... I won't even bother getting into the question of what kind of monster does it take to do something like that. Truly sort of an inhuman thing. Deserves execution, it absolutely does. They didn't have to die, says the Sun. Killer's parents slammed in report. Girls failed by cops and authorities. So the report... Like a 760-odd page report came to the conclusion, all sorts of various conclusions. Sort of the main, most salient ones was that the schools, the council, the police prevent various bodies, as well as the parents themselves, all failed to get this psycho locked up before he did what he did. Parents knew loads of stuff. That he looked at loads of crazy stuff online. That he'd bought some... Not ricin itself. You can't just buy a ricin poison, but... Was it from castor beans or something? He bought some of the elements that you would need if you wanted to try and make ricin. That he had terrorist manuals. That he bought knives. He'd done violent things in the past. He took a knife to school and got expelled. Had to go to a special school. Beat some other kid up with a hockey stick. But when people started trying to actually do something about him, they were told, don't be racist. They were told, that's stereotyping a black boy with a knife. Don't do that. The parents did all they could, really, to prevent the authorities from doing what was necessary, obfuscated, lied on his behalf. He himself lied, apparently, endlessly about what was going through his mind. In fact, let's read a bit from, I think it was the Mail online. There we go, look. Head teacher who feared Southport killer was a risk was accused of racially stereotyping a black boy with a knife. Let's read a bit from this article, shall we? The risk Southport killer Axel Rudakubana posed to others was toned down by professionals for fear of being accused of racism, a report into the massacre claims. Thanks, anti-racism. Thanks, culture of anti-racism. Thanks for that. That's very progressive, isn't it? Very, very progressive. Born in Wales to parents who fled Rwanda, he was enrolled at the Acorns School, a special referral unit in Lancashire, at the age of 13 after being expelled from mainstream education for taking a knife into class. At 13. Head teacher of this Acorns place, Joanne Hodson, told the Public Inquiry that from the first day, she realised the teenager was, quote, very high risk, with a manner, quote, devoid of any remorse. But when she tried to raise the risk he posed to others, Mrs. Hodson said she was accused by children's mental health worker, Samantha Steed, of, quote, racially stereotyping Rudakubana as, quote, a black boy with a knife, quote. I mean, Mrs. Hodson told the inquiry that the accusation of racial profiling had effectively shut me down. Yeah, it'll do that. Yeah. Because if you keep going with that, you just get called a bigot and a racist and then you lose your job. The warning about the risk Rudakubana posed, which featured in a draft of his education, health and care plan, remained in the document, but parts were rewritten, such as a reference to his, quote, sinister internet use being replaced with the word inappropriate. Like when this story first broke, before we knew exactly his name and what he looked like, they tried to characterise him as just a Welsh choir boy. Remember that? Remember that? Remember when the government tried for as long as possible not to release his name or image? For as long as possible. Do you remember that? So his internet use was just is simply inappropriate. No more than that. Inappropriate. Inquiry chairman Sir Adrian Fulford concluded that it was unwise of Ms. Steed to raise issues of racial stereotyping. Unwise. Unwise. Evil, insane, mad. Mad too. Why? Why? Why would you? Because he's black. What the thinking of that? The anti-racism. He's black, and even though he's some sort of concern, serious concern, because he's black, we have to underplay it, play it down. Why? What sort of... It's disgusting, isn't it? He was obviously some sort of psycho, right? From the age of 13, described as, like, as soon as you meet him, on day one of meeting him, you realise he's devoid of human remorse. What kind of... While there was no suggestion she made a direct accusation of racial stereotyping against Mrs. Hodson, the fact that such a contentious topic was raised nevertheless served to close down, quote, close down, Mrs. Hodson said, Sir Adrian wrote. He added that Mrs. Hodson was raising a valid point about the need for a risk assessment, and this was, quote, another example of insufficient emphasis being placed on the risks that child may present to others. The inquiry into the 2024 murders concluded yesterday that it was the catastrophic failures of Rudakubana's parents and other agencies which meant that chances to prevent the attack were missed. So Adrian said, if his parents had done, quote, what they morally ought to have, i.e. make it clear that you're dealing with a psycho here, which they didn't do, repeatedly didn't do, and even, like, defended him as much as possible, and reported his suspicious behaviour. Suspicious behaviour. Suspicious behaviour. getting terrorist manuals and buying the elements to make rice in and knives, suspicious behaviour, and threatening them loads. It's completely uncontrollable psycho. If they had reported his suspicious behaviour, he would not have been free on that day of the attack. The inquiry at Liverpool Town Hall heard that the killer's autism had been used as an excuse for his past behaviour, while, quote, a merry-go-round, quote, of referrals and assessments meant no agency understood how dangerous the teenager was. At the conclusion of his 760-page report into the attack, Sir Adrian called for the end of, quote, a culture of agencies passing responsibility between each other. No mention of why he or his family were in the country at all. Why are we taking Rwandans? Why should there be really hardly any Rwandans in this country? Especially ones that have been brutalised by that civil war and that genocide. Why? How is that in our interest? No, over 700 pages... Over 750 pages, but no mention of anything like that. Of course, no mention of anything like that. That's the real reason. But this is an imported monster. Should never have been in this country. His parents and he should never, ever, ever have been near these islands. No mention of anything like that. Of course not. No. Those he criticised included Lancashire Police, the government's counter-terrorism service Prevent, because of course Prevent aren't interested in actually doing stuff like this, preventing something like this. They're much more interested in anyone that's right-leaning, any radical thinking on the right. Okay, so he criticised the police, Prevent, various NHS health services, mental health services, and the county council, among others. And the mum and dad, of course. The mum and dad that raised this absolute psycho monster. I find it difficult not to swear. Anyone who watches State of Politics, knows I don't mind the odd swear word. I'm finding it very difficult not to swear right now. Not to say what I really think. He said, Sir Adrian, who did this inquiry, which doesn't talk about the true nature of why this happened, i.e. that people like this shouldn't be in our country, should never have been in our country. Sir Adrian said, this failure lies at the heart of why Ruda Cabana was able to mount the attack despite so many warning signs of his capacity for fatal violence. Now Sir Adrian has called for urgent reforms, adding that he hopes this will mark a genuine turning point. No real proper falls. Won't stop something like this happening in the future whatsoever. He described Ruda Cabana as an aggressive, near-total recluse who bullied and threatened his family and unashamedly lied to officials. Right, yeah, complete psycho, yeah. We get it. The inquiry revealed a pattern of mental health services and social care treating the teenager's autism spectrum disorder as, quote, an excuse for his behaviour, rather than seeing that in Ruda Cabana's case, this, quote, significantly increased the risk that he posed. So Adrian said different agencies showed a scant regard and a lack of curiosity over Ruda Cabana's internet usage. Quote, I have no hesitation in concluding that the degrading, violent and misogynistic material that Ruda Cabana was viewing online contributed to and fed his already unhealthy fascination with violence. The inquiry heard a number of other concerning instances which involved Ruda Cabana. In December 2019, he carried out on a boy, I think there's something misspelt there, but he carried something out on a boy with a hockey stick at the Range High School in Formby, just months after he had been expelled for admitting carrying a knife. So Adrian described this incident as a watershed moment, and that it proved beyond doubt that he was motivated by an ensuring desire to inflict severe harm on and possibly kill another pupil. In another serious incident in March 2022, Lancashire Police found Ruda Cabana on a bus, it must mean bus, with a knife after he was reported missing. So Adrian said, this was the most marked example of the consequences of poor information sharing. Oh, it was about information sharing, was it? Information sharing is the problem here. Really, is that really the root of this? Is it? Really? Prevent, could have and should have done more. Is that the root of this? That the county council failed to share enough information. Shouldn't have been in this country. We don't need them. It's not a positive for us. It's not in our national interest. Okay. If the teenager had been arrested, it would have likely led to his home being searched, and in the words of Sir Adrian, quote, critical information, such as the ricin seeds and the terrorist manuals he had downloaded, might have been uncovered. But Ruda Cabana was instead returned to his home in Banks, West Lancashire, with no further criminal action taken. Because you don't want to be racist, right? You can't actually do anything about someone like that because you would be racist because they're black skin. Have you seen the melanin in his skin? So you can't do anything. You just got to send him home, scot-free. Because he's black. Thanks, culture of anti-racism. Thank you for that. In response, Lancashire Constabulary's Chief Constable Sasha Hatchett, in words reported by BBC News, said the force accepted that there was an opportunity to arrest the killer that day and added, I am extremely sorry for this. Apology not accepted, not remotely. Are you kidding me? Finding it hard not to swear, I'll just move on. So Adrian said that his parents reported their true level of knowledge. He said had his parents reported their true level of knowledge to the authorities before the attack, he would have been undoubtedly have been taken into care or held in custody. Because they realised he'd gone out of the house with knives. They didn't do anything about that. You already know he's a complete psycho. He's threatened to harm them or kill them all the time. Stark criticism was levelled against his father, Alphonse Ruda Cabana, who Sir Adrian said had deliberately withheld information about his son's stash of deadly weapons. Okay, all right. That's the story. That's one of the main things that's all over the front pages today. I don't know why we need any Rwandans in this country. Do we need any? What? That's an imported massacre. Should never, ever, ever have happened. Information sharing. If only we'd shared more information with each other. No. Still, the globalist multicultural, multiracial view, not a dent in it as far as they're concerned, people like that, people like Lisa and Andy or whatever. It won't dent their worldview at all, will it? The murders of these girls and the other 10 that were wounded in this thing means nothing to those people, does it? It means nothing to them. It won't pierce their worldview at all, will it? They won't accept... If they hear somebody like me talking about Rwandans, they'll just immediately... They won't engage with that. They'll immediately flip it to just, I'm the problem, or someone like me, anyone that raises it, talks about that. That we're the problem. Because they can't accept the reality that we've imported millions of people, some of which will mean to do things like this. They can't and won't accept that idea, that concept, any responsibility for something like that. All right, let's move on. The Metro. All right, Trump and the Pope. Talk a little bit about Trump and the Pope. There you go. Trump versus the Pope. Leo declares, I don't fear the president after Donald's extraordinary outburst. So, in a nutshell, what this is, the Pope, who's an American, actually, he's the first American Pope ever. He came out and criticised the war in Iran a bit. He said things like, there's another way of doing things. You know, classic Pope stuff. There's another way of doing, being a conciliatory. And, you know, there's other ways of doing things, he said. One of the things he said that Trump or the Trump administration, like, thought they were omnipotent in some senses. Like, and that's sort of foolish. I'm paraphrasing now, but he used the word omnipotent, like the false omnipotence. You think you can do anything and you can't. Sort of thing. So he criticised the Pope. Donald didn't like that. And so he did quite a long Truth Social Media criticising the Pope back, saying, like, you're just doing a terrible job, you're doing the worst job. So yeah, a little bit of a spat between, a little bit of words thrown at each other between the Pope and the Donald. And then we'll move over the Sapple thing. We've done 20 minutes on that. So let's find the picture. There's a picture. Oh, there you go. There's the picture. This is all over the news today. Donald Trump posted a picture on an AI-generated image, which he quite swiftly deleted, of him there. You can see that image. In fact, let's find another front page where there's got like a bigger picture of it. There you go. Look, there's a bigger one. Well, look, the Daily Star says, "You're not the Messiah. You're a very naughty boy." Obviously, quote from The Life of Brian, isn't it? Monty Python's Life of Brian. They've just said that. So this is the image here. You can see it quite clearly there. Trump posted that. Now, the furore around it is that some people, Christians, some Catholics actually, because of this spat with the Pope, are saying that sort of, at best in bad taste, and at worst, blasphemous. So let me just tell you exactly my opinion on it before we go on. Because everyone's got their biases on this, right? That's what I say about when you read the news. Remember, you're just reading the bias of the writer and the editors. And I'm the same. It's impossible not to have one, right? So anyway, my opinion on this is, I don't think it's blasphemous. I don't really believe in blasphemy. I'm glad we live in a world where we don't have blasphemy laws. However, it is a bit in bad taste. I'll accept that. I'll accept that, right? If you're offended by it, you're Christian or Catholic, and you're offended by it, I can see it. So there you go. That's my opinion. Because when you go down the road of blasphemy, you quite quickly end up with sort of an ISIS-type situation where you can't do or say loads and loads and loads of things, otherwise you're guilty of blasphemy. Like, you can't play music with lyrics. You can't depict Jesus ever. You can't depict any human figure. You can't play football because it's blasphemous. Okay, so one of the great things about Christianity is that it is relaxed, usually, in that way, nowadays. Of course, in the past, there were blasphemy laws. But okay, so that's one thing. Right, it's okay to depict Jesus in South Park. Mel Gibson make a film about Jesus. It's great that that's okay. Okay, but if you depict yourself as Jesus in some way, I don't think that's blasphemous, but I'll accept it's in bad taste. I'll accept that other people think that's in bad taste. Sure, okay. So that's my opinion. That's where I am with that. Okay, right. Take it or leave it. I don't care. Trump said he didn't think it was Jesus. He thought it was an image of him as a doctor. That's what Trump said. He said, oh, I've deleted it because I've realised people don't like it and think it's in bad taste, so I've deleted it. But I thought it was an image of me as a doctor. I'm just helping people. Because I help people. Okay, all right. Well, so there. And I like to think I don't suffer from TDS, before we go on. Because whenever you criticise Trump, ever, someone says, in the chat or whatever, someone says, oh, God, TDS. I like to think I don't suffer from TDS. I like to think I back up Trump a fair bit. Not necessarily on remigration or on the Epstein thing, a couple other bits and bobs, but largely, Trump's done a great job compared to Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, what Kamala Harris would have done, in loads and loads of different ways. Trump's done loads of things for America which are great, in my opinion. Okay, on this one, on this little data point, I don't buy that he's a doctor in that image, or that he even thought he was. Okay, let's get into it a bit. He's got the divine light of healing in his hands. He's obviously, it has obvious overtones and connotations of Jesus. How could Trump have really thought, oh, I'm just a doctor here? Because, of course, there's various stories in the Gospels, aren't there, of Jesus curing people. What is it, Bartimaeus of Jericho? There's a man who's born blind, and Jesus gets some mud. Is it mud and saliva? It gets mud and smears it on the guy's face. And then he has to wash himself in some way, and miraculously, he can see. It's one of the miracles. Jesus cures the blind. There's another example when he cures the blind. There's a few examples in the Gospels where Jesus sort of miraculously cures people. Okay, all right, okay. Look, he's got like the divine light of healing in his hands. The connotations, the overtones of that, not to mention the robes. See the robes, you could argue, I didn't know that was a reference to Jesus, but the divine light. And also in this image, you can't really see it here. We can only just about see it at the top there. There's like a divine heavenly light behind him, and they look a bit like US soldiers or servicemen, but again there's overtones, connotations of like angelic hordes, like angels and things behind him. Not exactly a halo, but again a divine light behind his head. Again, if you know anything, most children even would know, have seen some Christian art, some Christian iconography. The overtones are clearly there. I mean, clearly. How Trump could see that image and think, oh, that's just to do, I'm just depicted as a doctor there. No more than that. I'm just a doctor. As if anyone ever talks about Trump in terms of being a doctor or doctor-like. Ever. No, I've never ever heard that, ever. Has anyone? Like, Trump likes to be associated with doctors in some way. The Hippocratic Oath. It's quite obviously an image of him in a Jesus adjacent role or image, isn't it? I mean, to me, that is all right. As I say, I don't care. I don't think blasphemy is a good thing. But if you find it in bad taste, fine. I empathise. I don't buy that anyone, even Trump himself, thought it was. It wasn't that. I mean, before now, Trump's posted an image online of. Like an AI image or a photoshopped image of him as the Pope. Do you remember that? Like last year, I think it was. And he said, I should be the Pope. After I'm president, maybe I should be the Pope. I could be Pope. And then there's a picture of him as the Pope with the full papal regalia and Trump's face. And he posted that online. Right, so it's not like Trump hasn't done something similar to that before. Okay, that's in the news a lot today. Is it just a distraction? Is the whole thing a distraction? Well, if it was designed to be a distraction from the beginning by Trump and the White House, then it's worked, hasn't it? He doesn't want people talking about the Straits of Hormuz for at least one news cycle. Well, it worked perfectly then, because they are largely distracted by it. Not entirely, of course, but... All right, let's go back to the headlines. The Daily Express, it's a good paper. Pope says there's a better way. Okay, the Southport thing. The Pope and Trump. The Southport thing. The Southport thing. The Pope and Southport. The Pope and Southport. The Pope and Southport. Okay, you get it. That's what all the front pages are going with. Hey guys, don't talk about Edmund de Rothschild in France getting investigated for corruption, yeah? Yeah, just talk about Trump. And the Southport thing, but don't talk about re-migration or the insanity of open borders. Yeah, cool. All right, they're the front pages. Should we move on? Should we see if we can talk about some other things? We had a poll, didn't we? Harry, bring up the poll on my screen here. Make it so. Oh, there you go. Thank you. All right. We asked you guys this morning, what do you think Trump was depicting himself as? Jesus or a doctor? That's what we asked you guys. Edging up towards 900 votes. Oh, yeah, 84%. Oh. You agree with me? 84% of you say Jesus. And 16% of you say a doctor. Yeah, I'm very much into art history. At undergrad, I studied the ancient world and late antiquity, which is the early Christian period. Very, very, very interested in art history. And you go to a museum or an art gallery in Italy or something. Many, 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 many paintings you'll see are in that vein. It's clearly got connotations of Jesus. The 16% of you there probably going to have a go at me for having TDS, but it just simply is the case. So, a complete win for the Jesus camp there. The doctor camp versus the Jesus camp. Jesus camp wins. All right, that's the poll. There we go. An overwhelming win. Should we have a look at the websites? Should we have a quick look at I've got the link here. Let's have a quick look at the price of oil this morning, just in and of itself for its own sake. Oh, it's under $100, so they're not screeching about it. West Texas down to $97 a barrel. Brent down to $96. So the legacy corporate mainstream media take a day off from screeching about it. All right. We've got Lebanon enters talks with Israel, but with no cards to play. Yeah. Yeah, their only thing is to say, just stop. Can you please stop? Lebanon, against the will of a big chunk of Lebanese people, a big chunk, someone like Faras included, Lebanon have harboured Hezbollah. Haven't they? Again, against the will and wishes, profoundly, of a big chunk of Lebanese people. There you go, that is the reality. And Israel taking this opportunity to try and entirely wipe them out once and for all. Probably very difficult. It's more of an idea, isn't it? Hezbollah. Can you wipe out the idea? Probably not. Vance accuses Iran of economic terrorism in Strait of Hormuz as US blockade comes into effect. So that's the other thing to talk about today, the big thing, the blockade. So they haven't sailed many warships up through the strait and up into the Persian Gulf, the wider Persian Gulf, but on the outside, the Gulf of Aden side of the Straits of Hormuz, the outside of it, if you like. US warships, quite a few, something in the order of 15 of them, are blockading that. Nothing in or out, at least without their say-so. Particularly Iranian ships. So here's an interesting thing. At least before the US bombed Karg Island, Iran was still completely selling crude oil this whole time. Well, at least before the Karg Island thing. They were still selling crude oil, making revenues that way. Well, that's what this blockade is here by the US, stopping that, trying to pinch that off entirely. Well, they will have done. There's some footage revealed yesterday of a US warship and an Iranian warship. I didn't think they had any left, but apparently have got at least one. I've got a few left. Sailing very close to each other. And the Iranians sort of threatening to shoot at the US one, but didn't. No fire was actually exchanged yet. Can you imagine? It would be absolutely a death sentence if you're an Iranian vessel and you try and fire on a US vessel. You've then got moments left to live, right? It would certainly be a suicidal thing. In fact, let's have a look at on ITV News. Two can play that game. Vance accuses Iran of economic terrorism. Two can play that game. You're playing. Bobby's got a brand new swing. Harry, you love Bobby Brown, don't you? Bobby Brown's one of your favourite recording artists of all time, isn't he?
I mean, I know of him.
I'm joking, mate. Don't worry about it. I'm joking. It's 80s, 90s stuff. I wouldn't expect you to know him at all. Anyway, sorry. That was... Okay. Two can play that game. Sorry, I just see that and that song just immediately, ping, is in my head now. So, all right, let's get a bit more serious about this. Let's stop talking about Bobby Brown, shall we? Look, ships, they're both blockading it, and the Americans won't let Iranian ships through. So choking them off economically, because it's one of the last things Iran's got. For their economy, for their wider economy, is exporting oil. Other than that, their economy is completely, completely ruined. It's like, so if America, you know, closed that loophole, as it were, Iran has got nothing left, right? And they've sort of got nothing left at that point. All right, what else have we got? So that's the big thing. I thought there might be actually naval engagements yesterday. There haven't been so far. I thought we might see US ships taking incoming one way or another, whether that's missiles or drones, and whether they're shot out of the sky before they actually impact the US ships or not. I thought we would see something along those lines. Not yet. Not yesterday. Not so far. US blockade of Strait will have widespread consequences, Iran's president warns. All right. Well, we'll see, won't we? We'll see. Lots of words. We'll see what actually happens. A couple of stories about reform here, Sky News going with. This is Sky News. Nigel Farage faces big challenge on the path to power. Beth Rigby. Incredible insight from Beth Rigby. The political titan. Is Beth Rigby such insight? The rapier-like insight of Beth Rigby. We're not North Korea, Farage says, irritated as he's questioned on promises reform hasn't kept. I think the main one is council tax, isn't it? Reform said they would cut council tax loads, and then when they have been in control of councils, which they have, they're completely in control of, I think, 9. And in partial control of 2 or 3 more. But Nigel says, well, no, just because local councillors put it on their leaflets, it wasn't necessarily full reform policy. It was just what other people put on their leaflets. And when you get into power, council power, the reality of it is different. You can't always do what you promise. Yes and no. I mean, Nigel did himself. There's clips of him saying, we will reduce council tax. And then once they got into power, they haven't. But also, to give him some credit, not to just completely dunk on him unnecessarily, completely. Also, that is sort of a fair point. You can say something, have a policy, mean to do it, and for whatever reason, can't. That is reality, sometimes. So, all right, but. Lots of people accusing them because reform get it. They get it from the right by the likes of us and Restore, don't they? And they also get it in the ear from the left, everyone else on the left of them. You know, like most people that the vast majority of people that criticise reform and Nigel are doing it from the left, aren't they? So they'll point out, oh, you said you'd lower council tax and you haven't. You've actually raised it, if anything, in some places. It's a fair criticism, but also a little bit unfair, because it's one thing to want to do something, to have a policy. Not always possible to actually carry it out in reality when you realise what is required. All right. Let's have a look. There's another story on the Mail Online. Oh, look, Harry and Meghan are in Australia. Oh, yeah? How good. I don't care, though, about that at all. I don't care about that remotely. All right, something about Kate Garraway. Could not care less. Here's a story in The Express. Migrants learn script for fake backstory to guarantee UK asylum. Yeah, we know. Yeah, thanks, Corporate Legacy Mainstream Media. Thanks for that. Yeah, we know. That's been the case since the beginning. Of course they do. The mainstream just sort of talking about this stuff now. The tactic, known as nationality shopping, lets migrants claim origins from high-grant countries, such as Eritrea or Iran. Yeah, you're one of these illegal invaders. Every single one of those is a criminal, by definition. You can't just break into a country, you can't just cross the international borders like that, without papers, without permission and stuff, without a visa, etc., without a passport. That's illegal. So, regardless of anything else they've done or go on to do, by definition, every single one of these small boat crossing people is a criminal. They're an invader. From wherever they are, they get told, if you claim you're from particular places and you claim that you're the victim of various injustices, you're far, 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 far more likely to avoid ever being deported. You're far, far, far more likely to get benefits and quicker. So if you say you're from Iraq or Eritrea or Iran, a couple of places, because you could be from anywhere, right? You could be from Azerbaijan, you could be from somewhere that's 100% safe. There's no reason for you to have ever left your country other than that you're just an economic migrant and want to sponge off us. But if you say you're from one of the hotspots, especially from one of the countries where our bleeding heart liberal establishment think we've got some sort of moral responsibility for, like Afghanistan or something, you're much, much more likely to be granted asylum, if not permanent residency, and all the benefits that go along with that. Yeah, so they just say, oh, I'm actually from Afghanistan, and I'm persecuted there for homosexuality or something. I'm a Christian. I'm an Iraqi Christian, and I'm being persecuted there. You can't send me back because they'll kill me. It's complete lies. Complete lies. You're actually just from Jordan or whatever. I don't know. Anywhere else. Just make it up. Oh yeah, you can be like 25 but claim you're a kid, claim you're under 18. Just endless lies. Anything you need to say to be let in and given loads and loads of money, basically. Yeah, we know. Thanks, The Express, for reporting on that. Yeah, we know. Everyone who isn't a child, anyone who hasn't had their head in the sand for the last few years knows this already. Yeah, that's what they do. Yeah, they're chancers. They're criminals. They'll say and do anything for Gibbs. Yeah. All right. Let's have a look at on this day in history, shall we? We're getting towards the top of the hour. Shall we have a look at down through the centuries on this day in history, April the 14th? What happened of note? All right, so on this day, in the year 1865, Honest Abe, the Illinois rail splitter, President Abraham Lincoln, was shot in the back of the head by John Wilkes Booth at Ford's Theatre in Washington, D.C. He dies a day later. And there's a drawing depicting that. Harry? On Epochs. Actually, on my own channel, History Bro, check that out. Everything's free on that. Everything's free on History Bro. The very first video I ever made, something like 7 years ago. It's got to be knocking 8 years ago now. Certainly seven years ago. The very first video History Bro ever produced was on the American Civil War. Absolutely fascinated by the American Civil War. Fascinated by all the characters in it on both sides. Of course, fascinated by Lincoln. So there's all sorts of content. I know all about Abraham Lincoln and his murder in a fair amount of detail. All about John Wilkes Booth and his gang, who he was. He was a Confederate, failed Confederate, failed actor in a number of ways. And America, the Union, Mr. Lincoln's Union, had won the Civil War, basically won the Civil War not long before at all. And John Wilkes Booth felt like he had to revenge what had been done to his country, the South. So crept up behind Lincoln while he was sitting in a box at the theatre, and just shot him point blank in the back of the head. It's a very small gun. I think, was it a Derringer? It's a very small bore pistol, but Lincoln didn't die immediately, even though he shot point blank range right in the back of the head. The ball went through the back of his head and like lodged behind one of his eyes. It's a terrible injury. And he didn't die for a while. He never regained consciousness. They took him to a house nearby, laid him on the bed, and he was still breathing for all night, more or less all night. Then eventually he died. Okay. Some Americans, I think Razor Fist, and this isn't a pop at Razor Fist, but some Americans hate Lincoln, don't they? Think he was a tyrant because he suspended habeas corpus in a time of war and stuff. Some people hate Lincoln. Many, many other Americans, and I must admit I'm much more in this camp, think he was one of the greatest presidents. He was a great man in various ways, in many, many ways. I'm much more in that camp, much more in that camp. I think he was dealt a very, very, very difficult political hand. It wasn't like everything was hunky-dory. President Lincoln comes to power and just starts a civil war out of nowhere. That's not how it went. He was handed a political situation where a civil war was going to happen. I think he's much more a great man than an evil tyrant. I can see the arguments on the other side. It's not like he's perfect. But anyway, that's me. Take it or leave it. There you go. All right. The Titanic sinks on this day. Well, it sinks tomorrow, but it hit the iceberg today. There you go. The Titanic, the world's largest ocean liner at the time, hits an iceberg off Newfoundland and sinks in the early hours of April the 15th. The Titanic. Of course, another fascinating thing. When I was younger at some point, when I was quite young, 18 or so, like I think a lot of history nerds do, go through a phase of deciding you want to know everything about the Titanic. Again, I think I mentioned it before, I had a child's book just called Disasters, double page spread of the Titanic, so being aware of it ever since I was a small child. Some people are absolutely obsessed with the Titanic, aren't they? Some people, it's like they can't stop reading about it in this. I find it interesting, but I've just moved on from it these days. Anyway, it was on the 14th and the 15th of April that happened, in the year 1812. In the year 1914, Dr. Harry Klotz isolates the bacteria that causes typhus fever at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York. Very interesting, important for the history of medicine. Typhus fever, terrible, terrible thing. The accounts of typhus throughout history are a terrible, ravaging disease, absolutely monstrous. Okay. On this day in 1935, Black Sunday dust storm ravages the US Northwest. It was much more in the Central and South, wasn't it? Ravages the US Midwest, leading to the region being named the Dust Bowl. So whenever you read about the Great Depression, at some point you'll come up against the Dust Bowl. It'll play everywhere from sort of Colorado down to Texas, big parts of the Midwest. Combination of drought and some agricultural practices, a perfect storm of various things meant that there was just giant dust storms and the quote-unquote dust bowl right in the middle of the Depression. Well, towards the end of the Depression, but the last thing a lot of poor people needed in the Midwest was some sort of terrible drought and dust bowl. Okay, that happened. On this day, 1981, the first space shuttle, Columbia, returns to Earth after 2 days and 6 hours in space. Ah, the space shuttle. Extremely disappointed and angry with Mr. Obama when he decided to cancel the space shuttle. Had a few years left in it, because it's all cancelled now. There are no more space shuttles going up. They're done. That's a thing of the past now. They had a few more years in them yet, I think. They could have made new ones even, but Obama shut all that down. Because he hates America. Pretty sure why. In 2003, on this day, the Human Genome Project is completed, with 99% of the human genome sequenced to an accuracy of 99.99%. Human Genome Project, very, very interesting. Sequencing the human DNA, basically. They can do it much more quickly now. Much, much more quickly. I think you can pay and have your personal DNA mapped now. It doesn't take years and millions and millions and millions of pounds. They can just do it. I mean, it still takes a while. It still costs a fair bit, but... So there you go. Fascinating stuff. All right. Should we look at the Rumble Rants and Super Chats? Let's do that. That's the show. What have we got here? Rumble Rants and Super Chats. Let me do that so that I can see the left-hand side of my screen. All right. And in at number one, still... reigning, defending, undisputed champion of Bosho Rumble Rants, global church history. Comes in at 7:15 in the morning. Brilliant stuff. You say, let me quickly read this. You say, yeah, I saw this earlier. So you've mentioned three things that happened on this day. Two of them I know about in extraordinary detail and the other one I know nothing about. So there you go. The first one, you say, today in 53 BC, Octavian Augustus, the first emperor Augustus, Octavian took command for the first time at Forum Gallorum against Mark Antony. That's part of the Mutina, or Mutina, I've heard it pronounced both ways, the Mutina campaign, where Mark Antony, because Mark Antony and Octavian were nominally on the same side. They were in the Caesarian camp, right? They were both arch Caesarians. Mark Antony was one of Caesar's first captains, if you like, that's the way of putting it. One of his most senior generals, rather. And Octavian is the heir, is Caesar's heir. He's his grandnephew, and he was, after Caesar's death, became his actual legal heir. So they were supposed to be on the same side. They end up fighting each other, anyway. And then making peace, and then fighting each other again. It's... the civil wars after Caesar died, even more complicated than the civil wars that Caesar had with Pompey and the Senate. They're even more complicated. There's two periods of civil war there. Caesar versus Pompey. Caesar wins that, gets assassinated, and then there's more civil wars. Doesn't end until the Battle of Actium, when Octavian, Caesar, finally beats Mark Antony in a naval engagement at Actium. In what? When's that? 20? I shouldn't have off the top of my head. Is it 31 BC or 27 BC? I think 31 BC. So 10 years. It takes more than 10 years. All right. So I know a vast amount about that. I don't suppose you think I've got loads of long-form content about Augustus and Octavian. Oh, yeah. It's all there. Oh, yeah. Consider signing up. As little as £5 a month, bronze tier membership. LotusEaters.com. Do it. You're doing it. Do it. Stop. Okay. The next one you say, I don't know anything about. Again, you out history broed me there, bro. You say, in 966, Duke Mezico, the first of Poland, converted to Christianity. If you say so, I don't know anything about that, I'm afraid. Don't know much about 10th century Poland beyond the broadest sweeps. Got to be honest with you. Another one, though, I know tons about. The last one you say there is, in the year 1471, Edward IV won at Barnet. It's literally the last epochs I put out last Sunday. I'm doing a whole series about the Wars of the Roses at the moment. That is the reign of King Henry the VI, Lancastrian, and him getting deposed by Edward the IV, the son of York. This son of York. So many back and forths, if you've been watching epochs. The 180s and flips of fortune, the vicissitudes of fortune in the Wars of the Roses are incredible, remarkable. They keep flipping 180, one side or the other. Keeps winning what looks like a total victory, but then it's just not. Anyway, at that one, Edward the IV, son of the killed Richard, Duke of York, now King Edward the IV, finally beats his own cousin, Warwick, the Kingmaker, the Earl of Warwick, at a battle in Barnet, because the Yorkists had won so thoroughly that they started turning on themselves. That's low resolution. If you want it in high resolution, it's all on epochs. In the end, the Yorkists started fighting themselves. The King versus Warwick the Kingmaker. Warwick the Kingmaker lost and got himself killed. And his brother, Northumberland, Lord Montague. They got killed at the Battle of Barnet. Edward goes on quite soon after that to have the final showdown with the remaining Lancastrians and Margaret of Anjou, the Bad Queen, at Tewkesbury. And Edward wins there as well. Lops the head off all the remaining Lancastrian notables. End of story. Except he's not. We go quite soon in the next epochs. We're going to be start talking about Richard III and the princes in the Tower and everything. And onwards to the Battle of... oh God, what's it called? The main... I can't remember now, it's gone out of my mind. The Bosworth. And onwards towards the Battle of Bosworth Field, where Henry Tudor finally wins. And then we've got the Tudor period. So, history never stops. It's my honour and privilege to bring it to you guys, the chosen few that watch epochs. All right, that's enough of that. Thanks, Global Church History. Appreciate it. Fortean Barber says, morning, all right? Yeah, I'm all right. You're all right. You say, I've started writing poetry about the stuff that's happening and annoying me. It feels so pretentious, though. Like Rick from The Young Ones, pretentious, which is a bit hindering. The people's poet. Rick Mayall from The Young Ones, the people's poet. Yeah, I've done all sorts of writing in my time. All sorts of prose and essays and short stories. Attempted a novel a few times. I'm trying to write a novel now. But I've never done poetry. I can't do it. Literally once or twice in my early 20s attempted it, and I had the same thing. It's like, oh, it's too... It's too lame and gay, basically. It's too pretentious. I think you need... For me, I feel like to be a poet, you have to have sort of some sort of insane self-belief to think that your poetry is worthy, that the whole world will read it and think you're great. I don't... That's crazy to me. I don't... So, yeah, I don't write poetry. I don't do poetry at all. Give it a go, though. I suppose you've just got to... If you want to do that, you've just got to put that aside, that whole thinking of that it's lame and pretentious. If you want to do it, try and just put that out of your mind. But yeah, I don't write poetry. Okay. Tomrat247 says, restores referendum on what crimes the death penalty should apply to should include an addendum yes or no referendum on whether Ruda Cabana should be executed. Not a bad idea. I'm not going to pour cold water on that. Usually it is the case that once you've been tried and a sentence passed down, don't usually revisit the thing in Britain. Or hardly anywhere. But, I mean, your sentiment, I couldn't agree more. The sentiment of that. Yeah. Yeah. He should be put down like some sort of insane, uncontrollable animal is put down. Cannot be trusted a moment longer to be alive on this earth. So it's best for everyone that you're in your grave. You deserve death. It's a morally correct thing to do. All right, they're the Rumble Rants. Let's have a look at the just the YouTube Super Chats. Okay, we've got Wiz This says, Happy Tuesday, everyone. Keep up all the good work at LE. Well, thank you. Cheers. We'll try to. Yeah. Thank you. So Jukes 149 says, He's not the Messiah. He's a very naughty boy. Right, yeah. Life of Brian. So I think Life of Brian's quite funny. Had it on VHS growing up. Watched it a whole bunch of times. Okay. Ezek 86 says, we need a modernised version of Dane Law. We need a modernised version of Dane Law. I'm not sure exactly the angle you mean. Dane Law's terrible for England. Do you mean maybe the other way round? Thanks for the super chat, though. I'm just not sure exactly what you mean by that, because that's all you say. We need a modernised version of Dane Law. If you're watching the Bo Show and you're sending a super chat, I assume you're safe, you're on board, you're our way of thinking. I just don't know exactly what you mean by that. Anyway, okay, thanks anyway. The Educated Yobo, that's the person's name, the Educated Yobo says, Ruda Cabana had all these signs, yet nothing was done. But I, a white man, was nearly referred to prevent because I talked about Nietzsche in college. Classic, right? Classic. You talked about Nietzsche. Yeah. Someone refers you to prevent because of that, yeah. Or you like Lord of the Rings. Something like that. Or what's the other one? Heinlein, Robert Heinlein. Like you've read the original novel Starship Troopers. Fascist, off you go to prevent. Go and answer some questions to prevent. You read a masterful, best-selling piece of sci-fi. Right, off to prevent you go. But Ruda Cabana gets to go home. Even though he's trying to make ricin, it seems, and have terrorist manuals, buying loads of knives, committed actual violent crime in the past. It's mad, isn't it? But you nearly got referred to prevent for talking about Nietzsche. Crazy. Yeah. Mad. Thanks, anti-racism. Thanks, culture of anti-racism. Thanks for that. Thanks, liberalism. Okay. 3, 2, 1, back in the room. Look at my eyes. Not around my eyes. Look at my eyes. And 3, 2, 1, you're back in the room. This person says, they're called 3, 2, 1, back in the room. They say, Hi, Mr. Selector, Bo Selector, it'll be proper Bo. I've been watching from the start and disappointed by you being late. Oh, sorry, dude. It was only like 90 seconds late or less. Okay, I'd accept the criticism. Disappointed you being late and saying I was making tea. What an example to young Carl. What an example to young Harry Carl has. Oh, what an example to young Harry. Carl, have a word for F's sake. Harry, we're both going to be in trouble with Carl now.
No.
We've both been fired. Yep. I'm not wearing an earpiece. I'm just... Sorry, I'll try not to be late ever. I've been pretty good. The other day I think I said we're up to episode 70. I think we're closer to episode 80 of The Bo Show. Been doing it for like over 3 months, right? Hardly ever late, if ever. Like, is that the second time, maybe? Maybe second, third time being a few seconds late. So, I'm not going to beat myself up too much. But we do try to be bang on time, don't we, Harry?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. Dickie Bingo, how are you this morning, sir? Pleasure to meet you on Saturday. You said... we've been the good guys all along. They are racist. Right. Yeah. Saying you can't stereotype a black kid, even though he's obviously a psycho. Goes on to commit one of the most disgusting atrocities you can possibly imagine. Sort of facilitated that one way or another, indirectly. Or not all that indirectly, is it? Because of his race. Yeah, they're the racists. Yeah. Krish281 says, I remember Lauren Southern in 2019 covertly filming NGOs coaching migrants what to say to get asylum, and nothing happened. Yeah. Yeah. She ended up empathising with someone. I remember seeing Lauren Southern doing some bit about channel migrants a few years ago. She ended up empathising with them, talking to some black dude, some sub-Saharan dude in Calais, and he's telling her he's a footballer or something. And she's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Lauren Southern. Thanks for the super chat though, Krish. Rogue Thought One said, just says, thanks, fellow sanity seeker. Trump is a troll. Okay, his Jesus picture was a deliberate troll. Yeah, sort of, probably, yeah. If it was designed to take the headlines off of Iran for at least one news cycle, it worked perfectly, didn't it, then? Yeah. He doesn't have to seek office ever again, does he, Trump? So he can put that out. Know that the mainstream media are going to go berserk and then just go, oh, I thought I was a doctor. I thought it was something to do with a doctor. Anyway, next thing. Because he never has to go back to the public, to the US public, and get re-election, does he? So what does it care? What does he care particularly? Was he actually deliberately trolling? Quite possibly, huh? Quite possibly. The Pope has annoyed him. So he's just going to do that. Sort of classic Trump, really, isn't it? All right, that's the last one for today. That's the show. That's the show. It's now 9:08, British summer time, on Tuesday the 14th of April in the year of our Lord, 2026. Thank you for joining me. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Without you, it's not a thing. Thank you so much for tuning in. Appreciate it. Try and make the best of the day ahead if you can. You know, carpe diem, seize the day. Your time is the most precious thing you've got. It's far more precious and anything else you've got, any sort of gold or gems, precious things you own, a Ferrari or something. No, your time. You'll never get it back. It's finite, absolutely finite, and you'll never get it back again. So try and make the best of it if you can. I know it's not always easy. All right, until tomorrow morning then. Take care.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.